In 2022, the Institute for Intuitive Intelligence is bringing you a whole new way to get qualified as a professional intuitive. The Intuitive Intelligence Method Accreditation is a 100-hour training program, including personal development, professional development, and spiritual development, that will take your skills as an intuitive to the level of superconscious. This program is available online and in person across a range of different dates and deliveries in 2022 and 2023. We'd love for you to head to the instituteforintuitiveintelligence.com to find out more about how you can get qualified faster and more efficiently to increase your power to serve. Welcome to Spiritually Fierce, the podcast. I am your host, Dr. Ricky Jane Adams, principal and founder of the Institute for Intuitive Intelligence and creator of the Spiritually Fierce movement. Spiritually Fierce is not just a phrase. It is a movement of awakening consciousness of which we are all a part, if we want to be. In each episode, we'll explore what it means to be spiritually fierce, how to become it, and why it is the revolution in consciousness that will save the world. Join me and my fierce guests for deep conversations on spirituality beyond the trinkets and superstitions of the new age that will support you to increase your power to serve. Hey, hey, dear beloveds. I am here offering my contribution to raise your voice. And what I want to share and say is my perspective on the work that I do in the world, which is to train intuition in men and women. And I have a very clear mandate or mission around the way that I do that. And it feels really alive in me at the moment with this great opportunity that we're sharing together, but also because of a number of different ways and places in my life where really leaning into that question of what do I stand for has showed up for me. And beyond intuition, beyond intuitive intelligence, beyond all of the training that I offer in the Institute, why intuition matters to me and what I'm really doing when I am inviting you to train your intuition with me is to remember that you are God. Now, this is language that for some people is challenging or inflammatory or steeped in all sorts of different ideologies. They may have been raised in a Christian paradigm or inside of some kind of faith that's made them feel unsafe with the word God. But that is very much part of my mission and my purpose, is to reclaim that word and therefore that relationship with the highest part of ourself. So ultimately, what I stand for and what I offer in the world is to teach people, to remind people, to invite people into spaces and opportunities to remember the truth that they are God and then to live from that truth. And why does that matter? And how does intuition relate to that? It matters to me that we don't dumb down our faith. It matters to me that we don't conceal our faith in a way that we believe will be palatable and acceptable to our friends, our family, our community, but rather that we're unafraid to be the full expression and demonstration of what it is that we believe. So when I use the word God, to me, it's the most confident and affirming statement that I can make to say, this is who I am. This is the depth of my faith. And this is what I believe. I know that you are God. I know that I am God. And why intuition matches or fits all of this is because intuition is the language of God. Intuition is the language of how God communicates with us whilst we're in this dream of separation that we call life. So our intuition or inspiration is God reaching through the illusion to remind us of our infinite, unlimited nature. Because our intuition rarely is asking us to be less of who we are. In fact, it's never asking us to be less of who we are. It is always inviting us to be more of who we are, a fuller expression of who and what we are, beyond all of our fears and our doubts and our worries and our egoic consternations that we will not be accepted, that we'll be rejected, that we'll be left lacking, that we will not have enough. That faith in me is so strong and so clear and so certain that finding ways to reach the world has been a huge part of my mission. Intuition is a language or a way of communicating that I feel allows us to feel safe to open to that conversation. So, whilst many of the students who come into my institute won't begin their journey with me feeling confident or comfortable about using the word God, almost 100% of them reach the end of that training absolutely using that word and feeling uncompromising in doing so. Because to be faithful to the truth that we are God is an uncompromising place to be. It means that we have to be willing to put down our fear when it rises. And this is, again, the function of intuition. We often think intuition is simply those moments of inspiration or the answer to the question of who I should marry or where I should live or if I should leave my job. But actually, intuition shows up often through fear. And when fear rises, it's a form of intuition tapping us on the shoulder to remind us that we've forgotten that we are God, right? So God is a fearless state. And so when fear rises, that is that tap on the shoulder saying, hey, you've forgotten that you are infinite and unlimited and fearless. And so we can use those fear nudges to bring us back to truth. This is everything around what I share with intuition, and it is the only true way, in my belief, of how we increase our intuition is to sit with our fear. So you may have heard me say, if you spend any time with me, that I specialize in intuition beyond the trinkets and superstitions of the New Age. And it's really interesting for me because today in this group, I am spiritually fierce. I was challenged by someone or invited to really look at the language I was using and the way that I was sharing some ideas. And this person felt that I was potentially not sharing them in the best way because, as a Christian, she felt I was borrowing from Christianity, as well as borrowing from Hinduism, as well as borrowing from whatever other spiritual faiths that I felt to share from. And it was an interesting opportunity to sit with, you know, what is true for me and what do I believe and what is my faith? And without question, my work is not New Age. If anything, it's ancient as fuck, right? It is old age. It is tapping into the energetic paradigm of human consciousness since the beginning. And these great classical teachings, the great sages, the great teachers have all shared the same wisdom in a different way. So my work is deeply, profoundly spiritual, but it is not New Age. And that's why I say things like, I want to share with you intuition beyond the trinkets and superstitions of the New Age. The New Age has come to be symbolic of, for many of us, a superficiality and a way of engaging with faith that is very much about manifestation and attaining more things in the dream and getting our ego needs met. It's about cultural appropriation. It's about dressing up our lives in other people's faiths and picking and choosing what we want without having a depth of understanding of what we're sharing. This is very different to having a deep faith where you have studied and sat at the feet of God and prayed and meditated and seen and witnessed and experienced the parallels between all the great religions of the world. And those parallels are rich and deep and offer us a great insight into the fact that all consciousness is one. Ultimately, my work sits outside of any particular religion, and that includes the New Age religion, if you like, or the whatever we might call the New Age movement. to move beyond the trinkets and superstitions of the New Age is ultimately to ask you to be connected to that deep and ancient wisdom that says all is one and you are one with the mind of God. And therefore, there is nothing outside of you that can ever bring you closer to God. So this can be very confronting for us to hear, experience, witness when we're very wedded to external trinkets and superstitions to bring us closer to God. We can use anything, any external stimuli to invite us into an intimacy with our infinite nature, with our God nature. But very often we'll privilege the tool that we're using above the energy that we're producing. So let me give you an example in a different context. When we fall in love, we think that what we are experiencing is the other person. We think that we are having an experience of someone else, which is allowing us to feel feelings of love, that they are somehow the cause of those feelings of love. And this is, in every way, including scientifically, simply not true. What is happening is that person is simply acting as an activator of an internal state of being, that rush of hormones that makes us feel that sense of love, which may then evolve into a greater feeling of love, but it isn't actually happening in them or by them or because of them at all. We can use any external stimuli to generate those feelings of love, those high vibrational frequencies at will when we train our consciousness to do so. Another very big part of the work that I do in the Institute and in the method. Why we believe that other person is the cause of these feelings of love, or that they hold those, the special ingredient that allows us to feel the love, is because without their presence, it is harder. We might believe that it is impossible, in fact. That's because we haven't practiced training our consciousness. What happens when love goes away is that we feel let down by that other person. But in fact, all that's happened is that we are no longer being stimulated from within in the same way. When we look to the New Age, or when we look to those trinkets and superstitions, it might be very easy to say it's that crystal, or it's that specific practice, or it's that movement, or it's that place in the world, or whatever it is that is generating these feelings of being closer to infinite consciousness. But in fact, you need no external stimuli at all to generate that feeling of getting closer to God. It is an inside state. It wouldn't matter if you were locked up in a prison cell or if you were standing in front of, the most sacred site in the world. You are the one who is generating the feelings. And those feelings are increasing your vibration. And your vibration is what is getting you closer to the frequency of God. When we are able to move beyond egoic attachments to the dream, aka external stimulus, as a way to get closer to God, then we are truly free. We are sitting in that space of self-generating that connection. And that is what I want for all of us. I want us all to know that there is nothing outside of us that can do the work. It is an inside job. And whilst we might be able to curate a life or have experiences that make it easier to get closer to God, certainly locked up in a prison cell is going to make it a lot harder than being in community and connection with beautiful people who share the same vision. There is no requirement for anything outside of us to bring us into that state of communion or oneness with the mind of God. What we're doing when we get closer to God in this tradition or this practice is we're stripping away the trinkets and superstitions. We're stripping away egoic attachments to anything outside of ourselves. And the reason why we reject this or find it incredibly difficult to get on board with is that is 100% self-reliance. That is 100% self-reliance or self-responsibility. And we would much prefer to imagine that there was someone or something outside of us that could fast-track that process for us. More often than not, the thing outside of us is the thing that delays us rather than getting us there faster. But it can feel really comfortable to have that external thing, whether it's a ritual, an altar, a person, a belief system, a church, a place to go, whatever it is that you are using. When you recognize that you can motivate that or create that energy from within, it is both liberating and terrifying. And I'll give you an example of that. When I began the Institute and was really going deep into my own personal devotion, I had this realization one day that all of my yearning to go on spiritual retreats or pilgrimages or to travel the world to go to sacred sites was redundant. Because I was able to cultivate the feelings that I would feel in any of those locations within. And whilst that was very exciting, it was also a period of grieving because I was like, oh my goodness, I don't actually need anything from the world in that way. Now, this doesn't mean that we end our relationship with the world and we just stay inside our house and we never see anybody and we don't participate. Because that is actually a form of spiritual bypassing, and it could be also very appealing to us to hide in our cave, metaphorically or otherwise, and never have to go out into the mad, bad world. But that is also not the point of this life. The point of this life is to recognize the dream. The point of this life is to awaken to the dream, or to awaken to that cage of the ego's machinations. And devotion is the path to getting out of it. So showing up in your faith, being a leader in your faith, which does not mean telling others what to do, but rather being the demonstration of what you believe, is what allows us to liberate all consciousness. And because the first immutable law tells us that all is one, we cannot go to God on our own. So, bringing this back to the subject of intuition, which is what I train others to develop, intuition is the language of God or that infinite consciousness. And when we are conversant in that language, we then recognize that there is that communion occurring all of the time. And this anchors us into the certainty that we do not need anything outside of us to bring us into that state of connection to our own God nature. It's a really, really exciting thing to open to the language of infinite consciousness, to open to God's voice and to receive it within us, whether that is through feeling, seeing, knowing, or hearing. We all receive our intuition in different ways. But that is the work. That is my work. That is what I stand for. That is absolutely my dharma. My dharma is to move into a deeply trusting relationship with God, to trust the events of my life, to trust myself. And in order to do that, I need to become conversant in the language that God is communicating with me in, and that is intuition. And so when I devote myself to increasing my intuition and my access to my intuition, I am super tracked or, fast tracking my awakening journey in all ways. I am eliminating the need for the external trinkets and superstitions. I am self-authorizing, self-mandating, bringing that authority, that holy authority back within the ground of my being. And at the same time, I am recognizing that infinite oneness, that I am one with all. These are an irresistible recipe that makes it impossible for us to then be in the world in a suffering way. We will forego illusion, and that can cause some grief and disappointment at first, but ultimately we will find ourselves on the other side in that deeply trusting relationship, that state of surrender to the one mind. So what I stand for is to teach you to know that you are God, which means to teach myself to know that I am God, because there's only one of us here. What I know to be true is that my service is my medicine. Whatever it is that I feel compelled to offer to the world, I must be the first receiver of. And if I ever get to a point where I think, this is no longer relevant to me, or that it isn't something that I'm embodying, then I have no right to be sharing it with others. My relationship to intuition is not casual, it is not superficial, it is not a second choice, it's not a luxury item, it's not something I do when everything else calms down. It is the path. And it is a path of devotion, of fearlessness, of spiritual fierceness. It asks of me to put down my littleness. It asks of me to abandon my self-doubt. It asks of me to be deeply trusting that I am worthy, because I am that I am. And that is a space of true revelation, of recognition that I cannot be self-loathing, that I cannot sit in a space of fear. I am welcoming fear in as a form of intuition, tapping me on the shoulder to remind me where I've forgotten I am God. But then I use that as stimulus to course correct and to come back to the truth. So I train people to know that they are God. And I do that right now because it feels so good through developing the language of intuition in those that I have the privilege of serving. And in doing that, I'm serving myself. And I know that before anyone else can be served by my service, I must be the first recipient. So that is me raising my voice, and I am so grateful to have this opportunity, this community, and this space to share my vision, my truth, my dharma. And I know that as I evolve and as my work evolves, that the way that I express that and what I want you to know about it might grow and change, but that essence of it all, that you are God, that I am God, that we are unlimited in every way, and that within us we have the power to create a new heaven, a new earth, and that that is our destiny, to unite consciousness through that lens of oneness. That is why my work matters. That is why I created the Institute, and that is why I won't shut up about the importance of intuition. And I will always invite you to go beyond the trinkets and superstitions of the New Age to meet yourself in your glory.